Chapter 2. A New Home and New Friends. As soon as she had sent her reply to her cousin, Mrs. Dashwood was able to tell her selfish daughter-in-law that she would be leaving Norland as soon as possible for a new home. John Dashwood was very surprised that she had decided on Devonshire, so far from Norland Park. But Mrs. Dashwood's feelings towards him and his wife were so changed recently that she had no inclination to remain near them. Although she cordially invited them to come and visit the cottage whenever they liked, she knew they would never come. She also noticed Fanny's evident annoyance when she extended a warm and more sincere invitation to Edward Ferrars. In spite of the black look she received from her daughter-in-law, however, she was determined that Eleanor's chances of happiness would not be spoiled by Edward's family prejudice towards her beloved daughter. The girls and their mother made plans for their new home. Mrs. Dashwood and Marianne were full of ambitious projects for entertaining on a grand scale and extending the house in all directions to accommodate guests. But fortunately, Eleanor was more realistic and practical, and eventually persuaded them to accept a more conservative plan, better suited to their reduced circumstances, with only 3 servants and no carriage. While they packed their things, Mrs. Dashwood waited for her stepson to speak out on the delicate matter of her daughter's financial position. She knew he had promised his father to help them, and believed this was the ideal time to make them a settlement. Nothing at all was said on the matter by the new owner of Norland, however, and, apart from some assistance with the transportation of their furniture and boxes, it became obvious that he had no intention of helping them further. Mrs. Dashwood was indignant, but pride and distaste at her stepson's shabby behaviour prevented her from saying anything. However, his behaviour only increased her disappointment in him and her dislike for his wife, and provided another reason for leaving their house as soon as she could. The girls were very sad to leave their beloved Norland Park, and cried many tears when their carriage finally turned west and they left the lovely old house behind them. However, their spirits lifted a few days later when they arrived in Devonshire and saw the pretty valley which was to be their new home. It was a fertile and pleasant spot, with wooded slopes and rich pastures. The situation of the house was good, with high hills behind it and lovely views from the windows over the valley. The cottage itself was small and compact, but well built. For Marianne's romantic tastes, it was rather defective as a cottage because it didn't have a thatched roof, honeysuckle round the door, or green shutters. However, it was certainly comfortable and cosy, and the ladies were generally pleased with it. The next morning, after breakfast, they received their first visit from their relation and new landlord, Sir John Middleton. He was a good-looking gentleman of around 40, friendly and good-humoured. He urged them to accept his invitation to dinner to meet his wife as soon as possible, and assured them that he was delighted to have such a charming family as his new neighbours. The same afternoon, his kind words were followed by a generous present of fruit and vegetables from the gardens at the great house, and a basket of game, which he had shot himself, for their table. In fact, from the beginning, their treatment at Barton was so different from what they had received recently at Norland that the girls began to feel happier immediately. They looked forward to meeting Lady Middleton the next day. Barton Park was a large, handsome house where the Middletons lived in a style of elegance and hospitality. Sir John apologised for the small size of their party. He was a fun-loving, sociable man who liked nothing better than to arrange noisy dancing parties, suppers, and picnics for his young friends, and he would have liked to organise a dance in their honour. Eleanor, however, assured him that they preferred to be quiet on their first evening, and thanked him for his kind invitation to dinner. Of the guests present at the table, the girls thought Lady Middleton was rather a disappointment. She was certainly elegant and well-bred, but her conversation was dull and insipid, her one interest in life being her noisy, spoiled children, who annoyed the guests all night with their tricks and demands. Eleanor privately wondered what Sir John and his lady talked about when they were alone. The husband's only real passion seemed to be hunting, and his wife couldn't even ride. Also present at dinner was Lady Middleton's mother, Mrs. Jennings, a jolly, middle-aged lady whose main occupation in life was to try and make matches for all the young people she knew. She was delighted to meet the pretty Dashwood girls and began teasing them immediately about the broken-hearted young men she was sure they had left behind them in Sussex. An old friend of Sir John's, Colonel Brandon, completed the group that night. A taciturn, serious man of around 35, he seemed as unsuitable to be Sir John's friend as Lady Middleton seemed to be his wife, and Eleanor was curious about him. He was not handsome, but had a pleasant, intelligent face and a respectful, gentlemanly manner. He didn't say much, but when he spoke, what he said was sensible. His age and quietness had caused Marianne to ignore him almost completely, but later in the evening, when the others found out she was musical and invited her to play, she saw a different side to his character. While the others insisted loudly that she play something, they nevertheless talked continuously throughout her entire performance, then praised her skill without having listened to her. Colonel Brandon, on the other hand, was silent and attentive, and showed a real appreciation of her talent. So, while Marianne was convinced that at his advanced age the Colonel couldn't possibly feel things as acutely and passionately as she did, she had to admit that perhaps when he was younger he had been a man of sensitivity and taste.